Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
And welcome, everyone, to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams, and with me, as always, my good friend, Matt Renshaw. Matt, how are you today?
It's been a long day. So everybody wants to talk about the election and whatnot. And I'm like, usually we do a recap and I have no recap. We don't have anything to talk about. I had to push it to maybe next week.
No.
Maybe December. Who knows? No.
Yeah. We don't know nothing. I'm probably not going to know anything until later this week. It's looking pretty good for the Democratic Party if you read Facebook at all. But
yeah, I try to stay off Facebook.
It's a good idea, Matt. It's a good idea.
Good advice for everybody. I don't think Twitter's much different, though. I think Twitter's a lot of Democrat happiness.
A lot of eggs. Before we talk about eggs, I need to remind everybody, we are brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
The number one place to go to for anything Dynasty football related. I'm going to say one
word. A few times this week.
That's awesome. You should be.
I love it. I love it.
They pay us to, but
no.
Really quick thing I want to say. I find it very ironic that in the 2016 election or in the aftermath of that, a lot of Trump supporters and Republicans called people that were crying about the election and how it went and how unfair it was and this and that and collusion and everything that was involved there. The popular word of the year was snowflake. Because people were freaking out. They're crying. They're kicking their feet. They're being soft. S-A-W-F-T. It's another spelling lesson for this evening. I just find it ironic that my Facebook, my social media in general, is just flooded with snowflakes whining yet again. I think it's a footnote in history. It's going to be fun to look back on in a couple elections. But regardless, we had a hell of a week, Matt. A hell of a week. I think it was last week. We need to get this out of the way. We talked about the Podfather.
Man, don't call it Matthew. Matthew Kelly. Little boy Matthew Kelly. And is running his mouth yet again.
Whoa. Shots
fired.
Come
on, Matthew.
He got on his more podcast, points. Which is fine. Told you to, quote, shut the F up.
Yep. Because he had more points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he knows this, but the man is in, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6th place in the division. 40 points behind me. Tell me how that tastes, Matthew. Tell me.
Bowl.
Get back there. Watch your mouth. You ain't got nothing.
You come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding and absolutely kick my ass in the Scottish Bowl. Will you say for yourself?
And people pay this guy.
I think it's advice. He tells you to STFU, and you didn't even call his mom a hoe. I did.
Didn't
say nothing about me. I'm over here telling him his mom's a hoe. Nothing. Not a damn thing.
I don't do that.
Well, I will.
No, that's you can go right ahead.
Mom a hoe.
He gets off on this like, oh my gosh, I'm so much better than all of you. Except it's I'm in the middle. Oh, I don't know.
Man, when your mom's not around because she's too busy being a hoe, you got to come up with these gimmicks when you're a kid. You got to learn how to, you know, make yourself look good, feel good. And I mean, this is what they grow up to be.
I just don't get it.
Yeah, me either.
How's sixth place, Matt? Matthew. Sorry, Matt. Not Matt. You haven't earned the name Matt yet. You're still Matthew.
That's right, Matt. That's right. You tell him.
I'm gonna send him a t-shirt with his logo because his little martini drinking werewolf.
Oh,
with the Dynasty Dad's logo on his cup.
That's right. That's way cooler.
Be a fan.
Me pushing some footballs around.
Right.
That's a logo, god damn it.
Dynasty Dad. My bad, Podfather.
I know. You can't make fun of the Dynasty Dad's name if your name is the Podfather.
There's a reason that stuff blew up. Because people don't like you.
Ooh. Oh, Matt.
Gosh. I hope Scott Fish puts me in the same division with him next year so I can beat his ass yet again.
Matt Renshaw, shots fired. I like it. You got a fired up Matt Renshaw, ladies and gents. This is great.
Gosh.
And when I say ladies and gents, I mean mostly gents because women don't listen to this podcast. But, Matt, speaking of women, let's take it down a notch.
You got a family story? I need to calm down.
I got a little family story for you. So I'm a terrible dad. my son started basketball, and they have practices at the local Y here. As I'm walking out with him after practice, a very good practice, mind you, I run into somebody, a coworker of sorts, and we're chatting, and she says, what grade is your son in? And at that very moment, Carson is leaving me to go grab a drink. And he overhears that question. And I just, for some reason, drew a blank completely. Had a bunch of numbers in my head. Wasn't really thinking. Like, his birthday's coming up. And, you know, you and I do the same thing with always concerning numbers and just this and that. And I was like, I just totally froze. And then so as he's, like, halfway down the hall, he yells out, I'm in fourth grade. I was like, I was getting to it. I got there. So kind of, you might have had to be there. Kind of funny.
Oh.
I mean, and then I told her about this guy named Podfather and how his mom's a hoe. But you, yeah. I'd like to hear your family story.
Mine's kind of funny too. So my middle daughter, everybody I talk to says your last kid's your most difficult. My middle child has been the most difficult so far. So she has made it a practice of just disobeying and not listening to us and doing what we're doing. So bedtime the other night, she's supposed to be up in her room. We give them read time. We give them like 15 minutes to read, decompress, do whatever they want. So my wife's getting them ready, and they're all supposed to be in bed. My wife goes in the room, and my daughter came downstairs for something, and she hid behind the couch. And my wife goes, Kaisley, where are you? Oh, my God. Like, I can hear my wife just getting mad. And I hear this. I come down the stairs, and she goes, Kaisley, where are you at? And I hear this little woohoo from like behind the couch. Just like teasing my wife. So when we play hide and seek, if they can't find us, they say, give a little whistle. And I can whistle and my wife can whistle, but my kids can't whistle. They just go woohoo. So after bedtime, she's behind the couch going woohoo. And I looked at my, lost it. I had to go in the bathroom and laugh while my wife was disciplining me. But oh, it was hilarious. This little 3-year-old girl hiding, not realizing that she's just busting up.
Yeah, kids, I tell you.
No, yeah. Well, and then I ran into your wife, my kids and my daughters and your daughter doing dance at the same place.
That's right. That's right.
So, yeah, we've entered that world.
Yeah. Oh, dance. Dance.
She came home and taught us all the dances.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Carly will do the little, I don't know what it's called, little foot thing. Tap your foot
Jeté?
Forward. Tap your foot. Chate, is that what it's called?
I don't know.
Yeah. You don't know. You came off the, that was from the hip there. If it's actually a chate,
it can't be a chate. I don't think it's a
chate. That sounds like a like no. Shitty.
You know what's chate? Podfather.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, chate.
Oh, this just in. His mom's a hoe. All right, Matt, let's do it. Let's talk news and notes. We got a lot of news and notes here. Probably too many news and notes. Probably going to have to cut a little bit for time because we also have to do the Renshaw's Renegades.
Big hit. Renshaw.
There we go. And then we also have to talk about our hot takes. It's an updated hot take episode.
Hot take week. Yay.
That's right. The trade deadline came and went this week. Nothing really big happened. Nothing.
What a waste
really.
Of time.
Yeah. I don't know who wasted time with it, but nothing happened. Let's do it. So NFL Network's Ian Rapoport reports that George Kittle is expected to miss 8 weeks. It's currently unclear if he'll be able to return at all this year. The 27-year-old broke his foot on the artificial turf in CenturyLink Field and, along with quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, is out indefinitely. Now, the 49ers have Jordan Reed set to return soon and Ross Dwelly, probably, off the bench to fill Kittle's role in the short term, but this news is obviously disastrous for a team. Also missing Debo Samuel and Raheem Mostert for the next few games.
And a yuk.
And Ayuk has the old COVID hoax just in time for the election. You got Nick Mullins under center week 9, which you could definitely do worse. But, boy, oh, boy, it's a rough time.
Who's their wide receiver one? They just cut Dante Pettis.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Pettis is gone. I couldn't even tell you. Honestly, without, like, cheating and looking it up, I couldn't even tell you.
Trent Taylor, time. Trent Taylor's the wide receiver one. And think Richie James is there, too.
No, thank you. I mean, so who's left? I mean, you got Jerick McKinnon's probably – is Jerick McKinnon the only guy worth starting, like, this week?
You don't want to start Hasty?
No. No, I sure don't. I really
don't. Hasty looked better than McKinnon.
Maybe. Give him McKinnon. You know me and McKinnon, though. I got all that love.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I got all this love to give him, and he just doesn't really give it back most weeks.
Do anything good? Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, he's not good.
The Packers running back Jamal Williams is out for week 9 against the Niners. Both Williams and linebacker Kamal Martin were designated high-risk close contacts with A.J. Dillon, who tested positive for COVID-19, again, just in time for the hoax. Williams, who was told to not practice Monday, will miss Thursday's game against the Niners. Aaron Jones' week 9 status is, last I heard, was unknown, but it's not looking good, right?
He's questionable for week 9.
Yeah, questionable.
For tomorrow.
Right. They play Thursday night football. So you got Dillon, Williams, possibly Jones all out, which means
Tyler Irvin. Woo!
The only healthy back remaining. Now, you got Dexter Williams, who played 4 games for the Packers in 2019. I'm not sure if he's been called up, but I don't see why he wouldn't be from the practice squad. You're not going to question Aaron Rodgers. You're starting Aaron Rodgers, but the ceiling has to be sky high for his scoring output Thursday night. You can't run the ball with Tyler Irvin.
You don't know that.
Oh, I do know that, Matt. I know that very well. Aaron Rodgers is going to throw at least 50 times.
Against San Francisco?
I'm not saying it's going to be successful.
San Francisco's defense is
throwing nonstop.
Solid.
Nonstop.
Jamal Adams. You got Tonyan. You got Sternberger. I mean, is Lizard coming back?
Lizard.
Yeah, I know it's Lizard, probably.
Probably. Perfect. Thank
you. Why can we not talk about how the Packers didn't trade for Will Fuller?
Because he's such a middling wide receiver.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Could you imagine the Packers with Will Fuller?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's
NFC favorites, probably. They're probably NFC favorites with Will Fuller. They've got better – well, I don't know.
That's better a really than Seattle. Terrible take, but okay. I like how Will Fuller just elevates an entire offense for you. Like, that locks in that offense.
No. Will Fuller. It doesn't elevate Will Fuller in Green Bay's offense. They need a weapon that can take the top off.
So how many shares of Will Fuller do you own? And because that's the only thing I can think of that would explain you being upset.
Honestly, I'd maybe won across 18 leagues. Maybe. I don't buy him because he gets hurt. This is the first year he's been healthy. Maybe he's Keenan Allen and he's finally shaken the injury tag, but I don't have him because I didn't want to buy into guys that had multiple years of injuries.
Sure. It should also be noted, this is breaking news coming into us now. Matthew Stafford isn't going to play Sunday unless he tests negative for COVID-19 every day the rest of the week. Apparently he had a close call or had a close contact with somebody on Monday that was tested positive. So there is a bit of a concern there. If you only have Matthew Stafford on your roster, maybe a good time to go get Chase Daniel if you can afford it.
I had a waiver claim in for Stafford and I canceled it immediately.
Well, it's also news because NFL Network's Ian Rapoport reports that Kenny Galladay won't play in week 9 against the Vikings. he'll have more tests to see whether where he's at moving forward. It's clearly not a good sign that Galladay was ruled out in advance so early in the week. I believe it was, they said that Monday, maybe Tuesday. Currently in the midst of a contract year, the 26-year-old has played with a chip on his shoulder. He's recorded 100 yards and or a touchdown in every game prior to this injury. The Lions did work out Mohamed Sanu. I know, not a big deal, but the Lions are doing what the Lions do best, absolutely deteriorating.
That whole division is just kind of falling apart. Mm-hmm. The Bears are falling off. The Lions are –
guard.
To who? Been the Packers forever. What are you talking about?
Jaguars coach Doug Marrone said Gardner Minshew won't play in Week 9 against the Texans. Sixth-round rookie Jake Luton, probably. Luton, maybe like futon. Lund? We'll say Luton.
Why don't you spell it?
L-U-T-O-N.
Oh, spell futon.
I would guess futon is F-U-T-O-N.
Probably.
Anyways, this Jake fella, he's going to receive the starter reps in practice and likely get the official nod in place of Minshew by the end of the week. Marrone also said he has, quote-unquote, no idea how long Minshew will be out and that there is, quote-unquote, no guarantee Minshew would start again, even if he's able to return. Now, it's the second year in a row the coaching staff has pinned the blame under center and run from all accountability elsewhere. The team's next 9 games will at least lend the organization a developmental look at Luton, who averaged a pedestrian 7.6 yards per attempt at Oregon State. Go Beavers. He was done? A top 5. The Jags are projected to be a top 5 selection in the 2021 draft. They're currently 1-6 on the season. They're going to go quarterback, and they're going to screw it up. So
okay. Did you see Jay Gruden come out and say, we're going to open up the offense? We're going to open up the offense for this rookie quarterback. Okay.
Sure.
Shut up.
Sure.
Minshew is the guy.
He should be.
He's not going to be there long term, but, man, have you seen anybody excited about the Jaguars before Minshew mania hit?
No. I mean, Minshew was like the best thing to happen to that team in a while, outside of D.D. Westbrook.
Take it back.
I will not take it back. People were very excited about D.D. Westbrook his rookie year.
One people, you. You are the only person I know.
NFL Network's Tom Pelissero probably reports the Cowboys have benched my favorite quarterback, Ben DiNucci.
Yeah, good job pumping him up.
Yeah, star writer of the song DiNucci Gang. DiNucci Gang, DiNucci Gang, DiNucci Gang, DiNucci Gang, DiNucci Gang, DiNucci Gang.
The sidearm slinger.
Garrett Gilbert. You know
who we're starting this week? Yeah, Garrett freaking Gilbert.
Garrett Gilbert is looking to start. Cooper Rush is also trying to get some time in. They're going to compete to start against the Steelers. I would be willing to bet you we see both of them. Owner Jerry Jones admitted the obvious on Tuesday when he said that DiNucci was not ready. He was not ready for his close-up against the Eagles. Neither Gilbert nor Rush will be either versus the Steelers, but the Cowboys need to try something different. So I guess the fantasy spin on this would be you can't start Cooper, Lamb, or Gallup with any sort of confidence. Am I wrong?
No.
No.
Okay. I said this a couple weeks ago. If you're in a DFS league, stream all your defensive players against the Cowboys. Also, stream all your offensive players against the Cowboys because they're a dumpster fire. They're trash. Do you know that the Pittsburgh defense, if you're in a league with defenses, they're the number one defense. But for DFS, Pittsburgh's like $4,800, which is the most expensive defense in the history of DFS.
Wow.
Dad stats.
It's kind of amazing that we're saying things like Amari Cooper can't be started with confidence. CeeDee Lamb can't be started with confidence. CeeDee Lamb is currently the top rookie wide receiver, which shows you how hot he was.
I thought Travis Fulgham would be.
No. Travis Fulgham is not a rookie. Right? Am I wrong there?
I think you're wrong there.
One moment, please.
Efforting. 2019 draft, round six.
Boom, baby. Travis Fulgham, not a rookie. One of the few times I'm right on the show. Love it. Moving on. Coach, Colts coach Frank Reich said that Jonathan Taylor is dealing with a little bit of an ankle injury. And yeah, a little bit of was an exact quote. For what it's worth, Reich went on to add that Taylor's ankle injury didn't actually come up until after the game. Jordan Wilkins still out-snapped Taylor 39-26, leading Indy's backfield with a season-high 21 touches against the Lions. Wilkins racked up over 100 yards from scrimmage and a score, while Nyheim Hines was also involved and scored twice. Any thoughts on the
No who to realist? Matt.
I told you I got a lot here. We got name game, we got who the realist, we got all of it coming up. But I gotta get these notes out, brother.
All right.
Do you have any thoughts on the Colts backfield? Anything at all you'd like to add?
People are bailing on Taylor in dynasty leagues. I would be buying if they're bailing on him. I'll go back to the Cowboys. If people are willing to bail on Amari Cooper, I'd be buying right now.
Those are both crazy. If you're bailing on either one of those guys, that's silly.
I put something out this week. Like, if you're selling Amari Cooper right now, you're doing dynasty wrong. Like, you don't know what you're doing. Do not do that.
I agree with that. But if you are going to sell Amari Cooper, you should definitely try to get Gus Edwards, right?
Renegade.
Gus Edwards rushed 16 times for 87 yards and, a touchdown in the Ravens' Week 8 loss to the Steelers. He had one more carry than J.K. Dobbins, who piled up 121 total yards. Edwards missed most of the second quarter with a knee issue that proved not to be serious, coming back in the third quarter and resuming his role in the Ravens' backfield. Now, go ahead.
Who saw that coming? I don't know. Did anybody say pick up Gus Edwards and start him last week? Someone with a catchy jingle and their own segment?
I'll give you that, but will you give me – I've been telling everybody that Gus Edwards is going to be a relevant part of this offense.
You have.
For a long time.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
Okay. He got most of the short yardage and goal line work Gus Edwards did, including a short touchdown in the first half. Baltimore had 47 rushes against the Steelers. I think that's a really
– And they lost. They couldn't run the clock out.
I'm just saying it might be time to change it up a little bit. The whole rush the ball 50 times a game might not be the strategy against all defenses. Got to switch. You got to let Jackson throw it a little bit.
Have you seen Jackson throw it?
He's not that bad. Stop. DK Metcalf caught 12 of 15 targets for 161 yards and two touchdowns in the Seahawks' Week 8 win over the Niners. Roto-World calls the second-year pro an upside wide receiver one every week. That will be the case against Buffalo Sunday.
A.J. Brown or DK Metcalf?
DK Metcalf. You can name very few wide receivers that I won't take DK Metcalf. I think DK Metcalf is a guy that you can build an entire roster around right now. If you're in a rebuild year, Thomas, get Metcalf and just go from there.
Or DK Metcalf.
Don't do that.
Why? Michael Thomas has put up 0 points this year. I think that's a legitimate trade-off.
I know,
offer.
But I feel like I'm going to get – I feel like you asked that question because you know I'm going to answer and you're just going to give me shit. I'm going to go DK Metcalf.
Dude.
See? That's why you asked that question.
I asked that question just to see what you would say because I think that's a legit trade offer you could get in a league. If I had DK Metcalf, I would send him for Michael Thomas, but I like Michael Thomas. You don't. It's what we're here to do. We're here to give takes.
Drew Brees doesn't have it anymore. There is zero contingency plan past Drew Brees for New Orleans, in my opinion.
Taysom Hill.
Yeah. I've seen Taysom Hill throw the ball. I'm not impressed. I've seen Jameis Winston throw the ball with a solid wide receiver in Mike Evans before. Not impressed. I'm going to take DK Metcalf 100% of the way. He's a great, great wide receiver.
Yeah, but have you seen his three cone?
Speaking of Saints players, Alvin Kamara is on pace for 125.7 receptions a season, which would be a single season record to running backs. I really hate to do these on pace record breaking kind of deals, but I felt like this was necessary. Christian McCaffrey set the running back reception record last year with 116 grabs, which shattered his 2018 record of 107. Now with a gaudy 26% target share, Kamara is pacing to break CMC's record. Michael Thomas' return, if it ever happens, could siphon some pass game opportunity from Kamara, but Drew Brees' weak arm and limited range could play in Kamara's favor down the stretch. Just this week against the Bears, Kamara managed 25.8 PPR points without scoring a touchdown. I mean, Alvin's freaking floor week to week is absurd at this point.
Dude's a stud.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it doesn't look like that's going to slow down at all.
No, but you just said that Drew Brees is done. Does that not impact Kamara? Dude, there's no contingency plan after Brees is gone for Thomas.
Any quarterback of any level can dump off to a running back like they do with Alvin Kamara.
Phillip Rivers did that a lot.
Yeah. And it pads those stats. Pads those stats a lot. The Miami Herald reports that Myles Gaskin will miss three games with a sprained MCL. Gaskin will presumably be stashed on the injured reserve. The Dolphins acquired Chiefs running back DeAndre Washington on Tuesday. Big trade deadline move. It's a big blow for the Dolphins as Gaskin has been the clear-cut lead back to the point where Jordan Howard has been a healthy scratch. Offensive coordinator Chane Gailey will now be forced to duct tape and glue a backfield together out of Howard, Matt Breda, Patrick Laird, and, well, DeAndre Washington. Is there a guy in that backfield that you're even considering?
Matt Breda, season.
Yeah. I like Breda the best out of all of them, too, but I just don't feel like they're not going to just give Breda the keys and let him run the ball. Like, they're going to mix him in with a bunch of other guys.
Breda catches the ball, mm-hmm. and he's got an opportunity, and he'll probably show up again in the show later.
Oh, wow. Foreshadowing. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury said Kenyon Drake's ankle injury isn't as severe as first believed. Kingsbury said the team was very fortunate Drake's injury wasn't as bad as they thought when he was carted off the field a couple weeks ago against the Seahawks. Kingsbury also called Drake day-to-day, but didn't say whether he would suit up against the Dolphins this week. Drake drafters should prepare to go without Drake for week 9, but week 10 looks like a real possibility for his return. Chase Edmonds, the team's lead back if Drake is out, should be rostered in all formats. You and I talked about that last week, Matt. You're a big Chase Edmonds believer.
Chase Edmonds, season RB1, rest of the year. Not giving that job back. It's his. Bye, Kenyon Drake. I hope you enjoyed your time as the Cardinals starter.
I'm not sure if I'm on that boat with you.
Of course you're not. What do you know?
That's fair. I know that Travis Fulgham isn't a rookie. NFL suspended wide receiver.
He's had one good year.
The NFL suspended Bears wide receiver Javon Wims two games for punching Saints defensive back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Did you see that? Because that was one of the most wildest outbursts we've ever seen.
I text you. I was like, what? Did you see what happened? What was that?
That was nuts.
Lapped his mouthpiece out.
My favorite part of the whole thing is he jacks him once and then just stands there. And he's almost surprised the guy's not hitting him back. But the other guy isn't hitting, like, Chauncey isn't hitting him back because Chauncey's like, what the fuck is happening right now?
What's going? He just punched me in the helmet? That didn't hurt.
He looks at him like, did you just hit me? Couldn't believe it. It's such a great moment. That's a great, great moment.
Like, what? What? Why?
Justin Jackson rushed 17 times for 89 yards and caught 3 of 5 targets for 53 yards in the Chargers' Week 8 loss to the Broncos. Trying to figure out the Chargers' backfield has become a wasted effort after Jackson was the guy in the first game, sans Austin Eckler, against the Saints. Then Jackson took a back seat to Joshua Kelly in Week 7, but it was Jackson again in this one. Even Tremaine Pope, probably, out-touched Kelly in this one. 10-7. This guy Pope comes out of nowhere. Jackson has looked good with his opportunities over the last few weeks and would seem to be the favorite to lead this backfield until Eckler returns. He's also seen 17 targets over the last 3 games. Matt, do you have a feel for this backfield one way or another?
Well, Justin Jackson's on the every other week plan, so I would sit him this week, but definitely start him next week.
Yeah, but now Tremaine Pope is getting involved. Are you – I don't know. What's the play there? I'm serious. He's going to at least siphon carries from these guys.
Is he? You haven't heard him until this week. Yeah, he had a week. Everybody had a week. Remember when Dearness Johnson was going to, like, take over the Browns backfield?
Yeah.
Yes, and that didn't happen.
Picked him up on a free agent wire. Traded him for, like, a third-round pick. Early third-round pick. Same week. Couldn't have been happier. Looking back, you can't even get that for him right now.
No, you can't even get him for a defense.
Oh, no one wants him.
Yeah.
Damian Harris rushed 16 times for 102 yards and a touchdown in the Patriots Week 8 loss to the Bills. Harris continued to separate himself from Rex Burkhead in another game filled with chunk plays. He scored on an impressive 22-yard scamper and out-carried Burkhead 16-6. Harris did not see a target. Now, Matt. Name game. And I got to be honest with you, this was a tough one. This was a tough one because I have no idea where you stand on Damian Harris.
Oh, all right. I like these.
Damian Harris or Justin Jackson?
Rest of season or dynasty?
This is a dynasty podcast, Matt.
Yeah, but we talk rest of season.
I know.
Harris.
Oh, okay.
Eckler's coming back. Sony, I don't know what Sony's going to do. They have Harris is the between the tackles, ground and pound kind of guy. At least I know his role. Justin Jackson, we don't exactly know what he's going to do, and Eckler's coming back. So I'll take the more secure thing in Harris.
Damian Harris or James White?
I love pass catchers. Give me White.
Damian Harris, or Carlos Hyde?
Harris. That one's easy. I think Chris Carson's coming back sooner rather than later. Plays through injuries all the time. He's the guy. And DJ Dallas, he didn't look too shabby.
Most Seahawks running backs don't, let's be honest. The Patriots acquired wide receiver Isaiah Ford from the Dolphins in exchange for a 2022 seventh-round pick. It's a highly unusual deal between division foes. 207 of 6'2" Ford's 225 snaps this season have come in the slot. Now, that's a place where Bill Belichick is always looking to add, but the Patriots' need for experience there is acute after losing Julian Edelman to injured reserve. Ford has 18 grabs for 184 yards a season, but ESPN's Cameron Wolf guesses the Dolphins would like to get Malcolm Perry, Lynn Bowden Jr., and Antonio Callaway more opportunities. It also benefits big slot man Mike Gesicki. Now, Ford could quickly become PPR relevant for target-desperate New England, could he not?
Yeah, they don't have wide receivers. I mean, N'Keal Harry has kind of let him down, and Julian Edelman is on the IR. Jacoby Myers is finally relevant again. So, yeah, I mean, he could, yeah. I don't know. You talked about Gesicki. He's like an every other week player. Week 6, he had 0. 7 was the bye. Week 8, 1.8. Like, where'd he go? Just disappeared. He talked about having this great relationship with Tua, and it hasn't come to fruition yet.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Dolphins gonna Dolphins. Am I right?
Dolphins could finish second in the East.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire played 33 snaps in Week 8 against the Jets. Le'Veon Bell in his revenge game against Adam Gase got a grand total of 17 snaps. Now, Bell had 6 carries and 3 targets. CEH didn't do much with his playing time, rushed 6 times for 21 yards and catching 3 passes for 10 yards in Casey's blowout victory. But it seems the rookie for now is the team's lead back. Carolina next week, by the way, going to be there. Going to that game.
Kansas City?
Yep.
Wow.
I'll be sure to report back.
Yeah. Mask up.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Can't wait.
You sound like you're super excited. Let me tell you.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun. It'll be a good time. Just me and the boy. So, kind of excited.
Nice. Oh, yeah. He's a Chiefs fan. That's right.
Yeah. Quote, unquote. Yeah. you have any thoughts on Bell? Because I don't know at this point.
I like Lev Bell. I've tried to trade for him a couple leagues, but guys just won't trade him. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know what they're holding on to him for.
It's hard to get a value on him. It really
when someone
is.
Offers you a second-round pick and you poo-poo on him on your own podcast, it's just a little baffling. That's all. I like Lev Bell. I think he's a RB3 flex play the rest of the year. Kansas City offense, running backs do well. Hilaire hasn't scored inside the 10 one, maybe once this season. I mean, that's not kind of his forte, so I could see Bell getting those. The Jets, they got up early. You know, don't hurt your stars against the Jets. We'll see. We'll get a real feel for it in the coming weeks, I think.
Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz said he hasn't been, quote-unquote, good enough after committing 4 turnovers against Dallas in Week 8. Wentz threw two picks, and lost 2 fumbles. He repeatedly refused to throw the ball away to avoid sacks and interceptions against one of the league's worst defenses. Wentz said he's going to have to watch the tape and, quote, a little frustrated with how I played and how we left some plays out there, left some points out there, and missed some big opportunities, end quote. No one this season has thrown more interceptions than Wentz, who has bailed out fantasy managers with rushing production time and time again. Eagles head coach Doug Peterson said there was never any of that conversation to pull him Sunday night despite the poor play. Jalen Hurts truthers are looking long and hard at that taxi squad, aren't they?
Stop it. They're not going to bench. Stop it. That's irresponsible.
Looks bad. He looks really bad.
He looks who's catching the balls? Travis Fulgham, who no one heard of until this year because he got an opportunity because everyone ahead of him got hurt. Zach Ertz is out.
You can't hate on Travis Fulgham.
Dallas Goedert's out. No, I can't. Fulgham's done well with his opportunities. But
Fulgham's done amazing with his opportunities, Matt. Since week 4 when Fulgham first started playing in this season, has more receiving yards. Was it more receiving yards? I want to say it's more receiving yards than any other wide receiver since week 4. Like, he is hot. Like, red hot. And his quarterback is not doing him any favors.
And you know who cut him?
Who, Matt?
The Green Bay Packers. Mm. No, so back to my original. They've lost offensive linemen. They've lost wide receivers. They've lost their best receivers and tight ends. Like, no, I'm not gonna poo on Wentz because he's not throwing to anybody. Has he been bad? Yes, he's been bad. Has he been bad enough to get benched for Jalen Hurts, who has done, 10 carries on the season, maybe 3 or 4 pass attempts? Stop it. The Eagles are the better team with Wentz running the team.
Matt, we're running out of time here because we do have to do your Renshaw Renegades. We do have to do the hot take. So I'm going to kind of run through these last couple of stories pretty quickly here. I'm sure you heard about Marquise Brown, the Ravens wide receiver, expressing frustration on Twitter.
Yeah.
He said, quote, "What's the point of having soldiers when you never use them?" Which is a question I've asked myself time and time again.
I didn't realize Kellen Winslow Jr. signed with the Ravens.
He has since deleted that post. Also, Bruce Arians was asked about Antonio Brown and if we're going to see him to debut.
How much are we
going to see him in his debut? Before I go there, Bruce Arians said it could be 10 plays, could be 35 plays. He's just trying to be coy about it. Can't blame him. Who do the Bucks play this week? Do we know?
Do we know who the Bucks play? like that hasn't been on the schedule for weeks. They play the Saints.
The Saints. Okay. I was asking you, like me and you.
Oh, yes. They play the Saints.
I don't know. It doesn't really matter. I, you know me. I'm more cautious with that kind of stuff. You have to have a better option. And if you don't, it doesn't really matter whether you start them or not. Your season's over.
I'm thinking about starting a better option, Scott Fishbowl.
If you don't have a better option in week 9 than Antonio Brown,
I'm thinking about starting with Scott Fishbowl. I got Antonio Brown or Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley.
That's who I've got there now. Antonio Brown or Amari Cooper?
Oh, it's definitely Amari Cooper.
All right, one more. Antonio Brown or Matt Breida?
Probably Matt Breida.
Stop it. I'd think about Antonio Brown easy.
Well, the thing is, I could see Antonio Brown having like 3 points. I could also see him having like a 25-point game.
He's going to score a touchdown.
Probably.
What's your next note?
Dalvin Cook, rushed 30 times for 163 yards, scored 3 touchdowns, plus a receiving score.
He 50-yard screen pass. Can you tell that I own Dalvin Cook multiple places?
Dalvin Cook became the first player to score a touchdown on each of the team's first 4 possessions of a game since the 1970 NFL-AFL merger, including a 21-yard rushing score to open the game and later on a 50-yard touchdown reception. Dalvin Cook, one of the hottest running backs in the league right now, especially with Chris McCaffrey out. Hard to question anybody that has him on the roster. Let's see. The Giants tight end Evan Engram has the 3rd most targets among tight ends this season. Travis Kelce and Darren Waller are the only tight ends with more targets through week 8. That might come to a shock to Evan Engram owner or draft. Excuse me, governors, not owners.
Whoa.
2020.
You said that word.
Right. You would think somebody with the 3rd most targets amongst tight ends would have more points. He's the tight end 16 after 8 weeks.
Know who I blame?
Danny Dimes. Oh, the clapper.
Jason Garrett. It's Jason Garrett's right. fault. I don't know. Jason Garrett's fault. Let's blame him.
Cooper Kupp caught 11 of 21 targets for 110 yards in the Rams' Week 8 loss to the Dolphins. We have our first 20-target game of the season, Matthew. Hasn't happened Woo-hoo! Yet. Yeah, so Cooper Kupp, who'd have thought? Quick game of Who to Realist, and then we'll roll into Renshaw's Renegades. Ready?
I'll be quick.
Amari Cooper's single-digit performance this week or Deshaun Hamilton's double-digit performance?
That's awful.
Thank you. I do my best.
Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper.
You think Amari Cooper is going to have a bunch of single-digit performances? Like, that's more likely than Deshaun Hamilton have a double-digit performances the rest of the way.
Yes.
Okay. Gronkowski.
Am I playing the game right? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. It's just sometimes it gets confusing in my own head. Gronkowski's 3-game streak of 14-plus points per game, or Jonnu Smith's 3-game streak of 5 or less points per game.
Gronk is realer.
Okay. Those were exact opposites, too, by the way. The first, like, 3 games of the season.
Yeah.
Like, Jonnu Smith has fallen off a cliff, and at the same time, Gronk has risen.
People forget that Gronk took a year and a half off. Like, he's coming back. He's got to connect. He'll be fine.
Tremaine Pope's 15 touches, or Le'Veon Bell's 9 touches. Damn it. I was going to say Bell's 9 touches is actually the second highest tally of his 4 games he's played this season.
Yeah, I was like, Lev Bell's going to be 8 to 12 each week.
Okay. All right. Well, Matt, you know what that means. Renegade times.
So last week was a little rough. Gus Bus carried it 16 times, 87 yards, and a touchdown. And then Rashard Higgins just kind of let me down. But to be fair, the weather sucked. Did you see that game? Field goals were going all over the place. Ball was flying. That's just, I'm going to chalk it up to bad weather, because Higgins said he feels like he knows Baker Mayfield better than Baker Mayfield's mama. This week, Matt Breda, owned in 49% of MFL leagues. Breda's new RB1 in Miami, catches passes. What else do I need to say? If you listen to the podcast, you know my MO, opportunities and guys that can catch passes out of the backfield. Boom. He's like the perfect renegade. He was made for this segment right here. The second one, I truly do not understand this. What if, Justin, what if I told you that there was a rookie wide receiver that was his team's wide receiver 1 that was owned in less than 50% of leagues?
I'd say it must be a pretty bad team.
Denzel Mims is only owned in 44% of leagues.
Well, Denzel Mims wasn't active for, like, the first half of the season.
Doesn't matter. You stash him. You put him on your taxi. You put him on the end of your bench. I don't understand how he's owned in less than 50%. I saw that. I had to look again. Like, there's no way. Denzel Mims is the easiest smash pickup. Hold on. Oh, my gosh. What are people doing? Like, yes, Denzel Mims. Go get Denzel Mims. That's the easiest renegade I've done all year.
Yeah, I'm a big Denzel Mims guy. I just think that ceiling is so capped. So capped. It's going to be hard.
They're
going to
be down. They're going to throw a lot.
Are they? Because Sam Darnold hasn't looked very good.
It doesn't matter if he's looked good. He's going to throw the opportunities, Justin.
He has a bit of a shoulder issue, does he not?
He is back. He also had a mono issue.
He has a mono issue.
And he has an Adam Gase issue.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest issue of all the issues, and it's not a soft tissue issue.
It's not a tissue issue.
All right, Matt, let's update everybody on our hot takes. So I said that J.K. Dobbins finishes the season as the running back 3 or worse in Baltimore. Right now he's the running back 1 in Baltimore by a margin of 16. So it's looking pretty good there. Just that those big plays, you can't hold them back. I think what I want to do is I want to flip-flop this week. So then you said that Todd Gurley was going to be a top 10 running back. Currently, Gurley is a running back 7.
He was being drafted at 20, right around RB 20.
Yep, so you're looking good there. I said Ryan Tannehill is currently ranked as the 22nd quarterback, according to DTC. I said he's going to finish as the top 5. He's currently top 8. You said Phillip Rivers was going to finish as a quarterback 1. He's currently quarterback 27.
But he had a hot week.
So he's a quarterback 1 in the NFL. I mean, that's good. That's something.
That's a start.
I said that no Detroit or Washington running back was going to finish at top 20 at their position. Currently, DeAndre Swift is a running back 22, and Gibson for the Washington football team is a running back 19. So right there on the edge.
Yep.
You also had an Antonio Gibson take. You said that he was going to finish outside the top 36. He's currently, like I said, RB 19. I said that N'Keal Harry was going to outscore Julian Edelman in PPR leagues in 2020. Obviously, Edelman's hurt right now. Kind of a cheap way.
So's Harry.
I know, so's Harry. But Harry's probably going to be back before Edelman. Harry trails Edelman by 16. We'll see how that plays out. You said Keenan Allen was going to finish as a wide receiver 1 again. He's currently wide receiver 14, so you're right there.
Pretty darn close.
I said Jonnu Smith is going to be a top 8 tight end. He's fallen off the last 3 weeks, but like we talked about every week, tight end is a complete wasteland right now. He's still tight end 8. You said Dawson Knox was going to be a top 12 tight end. He's tight end 65 right now, but if he catches one pass for like 20 yards next week, he's right there.
He's in the top 30.
I said that Rob Gronkowski was going to finish outside the top 25 tight ends. He's currently tight end 10. You said Rojo was going to be greater than Big Len, Leonard Fournette, Ronald Johnson. Ronald Jones leads by 47 over Big Len. Leonard Fournette just now returning this week from injury. We also picked our top rookie finishers. We both picked Joe Burrow as the top rookie quarterback. He's currently QB 11, which is the top quarterback position for rookies. Since he has a bye week now, and Justin Herbert is just 2 points behind him. So Herbert's going to be leading after this week.
Yep.
With all intents and purposes. I said Jonathan Taylor was going to be the top rookie running back. You said Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and currently Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the running back 10 overall. He's the top rookie running back, and Jonathan Taylor is 10 spots behind him at running back 20. Wide receiver, I said Justin Jefferson was going to be the top guy. You said Jalen Reagor. CeeDee Lamb is actually the top wide receiver amongst rookies at wide receiver 21 overall, and he leads Justin Jefferson by a measly 0.5 points.
So Reagor made his debut this week and scored a touchdown.
Yep, Reagor needs throwing a couple more of those.
Just throwing it out there.
Tight end, this is completely worthless. I picked Cole Kmet. You picked Adam Trautman. Neither have been relevant whatsoever. So there we are.
Do you know who the top dynasty rookie tight end is?
No, you tell me.
I put you on the spot. I thought you would know. You're not going to guess? It's Harrison Bryant, Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But, I mean, you can't trust any of these rookie tight ends at this point. You got to wait at least a year to see what's going to happen, see how it shakes out, and hope you have the taxi space like me
in most leagues. Yeah.
Yeah, I invested way too much in rookie tight ends this year. Way too much.
Denver's got a good rookie tight end, though.
Yeah, maybe.
I just call him Albert O. I don't know how to say it.
We all thought that Jake Butt was going to be something, too, and, well, he's injured again, landed on the IR yet again. Can't stay healthy. Sad. Go blue. But sad. Thank you all for listening to this episode of the Dynasty Dads podcast on DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
And their podcast network. We really appreciate it. Matt, anything you want to add before we let the listeners go?
Yeah. Podfather sucks.
Hey-o, and your mama ho. See you next week.
We out.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Dads. Visit us at our website, DynastyDads.com, for articles, news, and notes, Dynasty Dads gear, and more.